If you have your Bible, you might want to open it to Galatians 5. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5, and also verses 13 to 16 and verse 25. Paul, writing to the church at Galatia, pens these words: "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. But by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness of which we hope." Verse 13, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." Since, he says in verse 25 then, "since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the declaration that comes to our hearts through this book that was written to a church that was experiencing some difficulty in really understanding what they believed. Lord, spare us from being confused by the voices we hear in the world about us that would seek to camouflage your truth, that would seek to steer us away from that which we ought to be obedient to. Help us to be those, as your servants, as your children, as those who are believers, to be obedient to your truth and to your word. And so help us to gain from this text today that which you would have for each of our hearts. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You all know what's coming Thursday, right? Now, I know. There are visions in the heads of all the young people of fireworks. And probably some of you have already badgered your folks to go and see them. Or maybe you were even there. Lancaster always does it early. Friday night, they had fireworks. I missed it. But anyway, I have been there previously on occasion, several times. So this is the time of year when our thoughts turn to the theme of freedom. We celebrate Independence Day on July the 4th. The Independence Day of our nation, which marks our freedom from the rule of the King of England. Now, we're friends with England today, and we are not enemies anymore, but there was in that day the necessity to break free from the rule of the King of England. And in Galatians chapter 5, Paul takes up the theme of spiritual freedom. He writes to Christians that are still immature in their walk with Christ. And he begins this chapter with that assumption in view. And he reminds them, in particular, that they had had their Independence Day in a spiritual sense. He says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then." They had come to faith in Christ. They were believers. They were no longer under the domination of Satan, the prince of this world. And so he reminds them that they need to understand the freedom that they have in Jesus Christ as believers. Have you had your Independence Day spiritually? I mean, have you believed in Jesus Christ for salvation? I trust you have, and if you haven't, you could do it today. You could know a real spiritual Independence Day celebration. So I want to look at this text with you this morning because Paul tells us about our freedom in Christ, and I think there are three principles that stand out in the text. In verse 1, I think he says essentially this: don't go
back.
Don't go back. I like the text of the New Living Translation in particular. Let me read it. He says in verse 6, and because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. Before you Galatians knew God, or Gentiles knew God, you were slaves to so-called gods that do not even exist. So now that you know God, or should I say now that God knows you, why do you want to go back again and become slaves once more to the weak and useless spiritual principles of this world? Paul's saying in this text that, hey, don't go back. Because grace is superior to the law. The law was given to lead us to grace and salvation in Christ. But to go back and to live by the law is to ignore what you have in grace, what you have in Christ. In Galatians chapter 3, Paul has declared, and I read from the NLT text, but he says in Galatians 3, verses 22 to 25, but the scriptures declare that we are all prisoners of sin. So we receive God's promise of freedom only by believing in Jesus Christ. Before the way of faith in Christ was available to us, we were placed under guard by the law. We were kept in protective custody, so to speak, until the way of faith was revealed. Let me put it another way. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. And now that the way of faith has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian. I love that. He says, in a sense, the law placed them under protective custody. But now that Christ has come, you have no more need of a guardian. You have everything in Christ. And by faith in Christ, you have all that you need. There's no reason to go back. And so I think essentially he is saying, don't go back. And you hear him almost saying too, why would you do this? Why would you go back under the law? There is a name that's familiar in Wisconsin, and it's the name Stephen Avery. I'm sure most everyone is aware of who Stephen Avery is. You may recall that he was, first of all, 18 years in prison for a rape attempted murder sentence. And he served 18 years of a 32-year sentence. And then DNA testing exonerated him. So he was released from prison. But then after his release from prison in 2003, Avery filed a civil lawsuit for $36 million in damages against Manitowoc County, its sheriff, and its district attorney. But in 2005, while his civil suit was pending, he was arrested for the murder of Wisconsin photographer Teresa Halbach. His 2007 conviction and sentence of life imprisonment without parole was upheld, and a series of appeals were filed in January 2016. But then there is a Netflix documentary which was made in December of 2015, 10 episodes that were entitled Making a Murderer. I don't know what the conclusion is, but the series was suggesting that the second incident with Teresa Halbach was a frame-up. That's what the Netflix series definitely suggested. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. I don't know, but I know this. The thing that came to my mind immediately when I heard this transpire, when he was arrested the second time in regard to Teresa Halbach's murder, why would you do this? He'd been exonerated, released from prison, having served 18 years under a false conviction. Why would you then commit a murder and be having to go back to prison? Why would you do this? And that's essentially what Paul asks the church at Galatia and the believers there in this portion. Why would you do this? Why would you go back under the law and seek to live by the law as opposed to living out your faith in the power of Christ and His Word?
Right.
So His appeal to the Galatian Christians is, don't imprison yourselves under the law. Live under grace. And the second principle, I think, that comes out of this text is this, in verses 7 and 8. He says, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. I think the second thing he says here is simply this. It's not only why would you do that, but it's who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Again, reading from the NLT text, he says, O foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you? For the meaning of Jesus' death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. How foolish can you be? After starting your new lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Have you experienced so much for nothing? Surely it was not in vain, was it? I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? Of course not. It is because you believe the message you heard about Christ. So he's attempting to correct the teaching of Judaizers who had come into Galatia and were attempting to mislead the Galatians. The Judaizers had been teaching a kind of perfectionism that called for a strict adherence to the Mosaic ceremonial law, including circumcision and dietary restrictions. That's why he mentions those in particular when he says, I tell you, if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you. He wasn't declaring that circumcision per se as a medical situation was wrong. He's saying that it was something that was a part of the law. And to observe it as part of the law, to put yourself back under that, and the dietary restrictions was to go against the teaching of Christ. If they did this, they would put themselves under the law and turn grace aside and turn aside Christ's work of salvation. The Judaizers were saying that one had to go beyond their faith in Christ and be perfected in righteousness by keeping the law. So Paul says, why are you listening to them? Listen to God's word and listen to God's Spirit. Listen to God's word and listen to God's Spirit. Let me say this at this point. We are today, folks, in a situation in America where this is very true in a different aspect. And that is that there are a lot of people that are listening to politically correct, so to speak, things. And this is happening in the church. And they are saying that the politically correct things of our society are more important and take precedence over the Word of God. And this is going to be a continuing battle, believe me, a continuing battle. You may not know it, but it just happened this past Friday out in Omaha, Nebraska. It's on one of the few places you can find it is Fox News. Minneapolis pastor and church expelled over gay marriage. I give credit to the covenant denomination. The Evangelical Covenant Church voted to defrock the Minneapolis pastor for permitting gay marriage, Reverend Dan Collison. His credentials were removed by a 77% vote at the Evangelical Covenant Church's annual meeting in Omaha on Friday, June 28th. They also voted to expel Collison's First Covenant Church, which was a founding member of that denomination. of the 134-year-old denomination. This will be a continuing battle, my friends, because it comes down to simply this. Who are you listening to?
Really?
Who are you listening to? Are you going to listen to the Word of God? Are you going to stand with the Word of God? Or are you going to take the viewpoint of society? Now, that doesn't mean that we don't treat people who are of gay persuasion or that with respect or treat them with kindness. That doesn't mean that. Those groups that start trying to preach hate against those individuals, we have to pray for them. And you have to treat them with kindness and respect, but that doesn't mean you have to agree with them. And you can still love them in the name of Christ and disagree with them. There was a transgender he/she that lived in Cassville. I did a lot of electrical work on the site for that individual. People of River Valley Community Church, one lady in particular, and because this lady just passed, he/she just passed away a few weeks ago. One lady that was a member of River Valley Church ministered to her in her last days. And I mean, and she ministered God's grace to her. I don't know what the final state of her heart was before God. That's up to God. I don't know that. But I know this. Anyone in that church fellowship did not treat her with disrespect or any way that, means by that. People in the community did. People who had grown up with that person as a man, and then she had become a woman, so to speak. Anyway, you have to pray for those people, and you have to seek to love them to Christ.
That's right.
But you don't have to agree with them.
No,
you don't have to agree with them. And we got to recognize that this is going to be a continuing battle, folks, in denominations and in churches across this land, as I just read to you concerning the Collison incident. So who are you listening to? Paul says, listen to God's word. Listen to God's spirit. We have a new teacher, not the law, but the Holy Spirit of truth. Jesus said he would send him, and he told his disciples that in John chapter 16, in verses 7 to 13. Let me just remind you of it. John 16 and 7 to 13. That night in the upper room, as he was going to be going away, he said to them, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. And James reminds us over in his book, in chapter 1 of the book of James. He says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. I'm saying simply this, folks. What James says, we ought to be quick to listen to the Spirit of God and listen right to his word. And he goes on further to emphasize that in what he says about the word of God in verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. So he says in this passage, first of all, that the emphasis is don't go back, and who are you listening to? And thirdly, in verses 13 to 16, Paul tells us this, use your freedom to serve and glorify God. Again, I read from verses 13 to 16 from the NLT. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out, beware of destroying one another. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Charles Wesley's great hymn, "And Can It Be," has this great verse. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Christ gives us our freedom so that we are free to follow him.
Amen.
And reach out in love to others. This is love at work. It is looking to meet the needs and deficiencies of others. Love does not seek its own. It is not self-centered or filled with self-pity. It does not talk about other people's faults. Love does not fear speaking with a stranger. It does not reject God's call to give your life for others. It does not waste money and become preoccupied with oneself. Love does not focus on things, but instead focuses on people. Faith expresses itself through love. This is what Peter says in 1 Peter 10 to 16. 1 Peter chapter 2, 10 to 16. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men. Do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Now, when he says there that we are to submit ourselves to those in authority, that does not mean that you cave in and go against your principles. It means simply that you do what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stayed firm and stood by their principles and said, we will not bow down or worship the golden image you set up, Nebuchadnezzar. And they were willing to suffer the consequences of that in order to stand on the principles of what God had taught them in that day and what they were to live by in that day and hour. And I think it's true today. We submit ourselves to government so long as government is right. If they're wrong and you have to stand on the basis of God's word against that wrong, then one has to be willing to suffer the consequences of standing firm on what God says. And God is able to protect us. God's able to deliver us, even as he delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I believe it. I believe it. And that's what I seek to live by. So do not use your freedom as liberty to sin. Use your freedom in Christ to salvage and sustain by the power of the Holy Spirit. In verse 25 and 26, here in this chapter of Galatians, he reminds us of that when he says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. So I simply end with these two questions. Are you using your freedom in Christ to minister to others for the glory of God? And are you in step with the Holy Spirit? And listen, my friends, I tell you again that in order to stay in step with the Holy Spirit and with God's word, we may face some real, real tough situations in our day. And we may face some kind of fiery furnace, even as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. And the question is then, will you stand firm on the word of God and what God tells you to do in that hour, or will you cave? It's not something that we can really do until that hour, but I think that hour may very well come before Christ comes back. I believe he's coming back again. Just when, we don't know. But we may have to face things that we've never faced before in the society we live in today. My pastor's preaching right now through the book of 1 Corinthians. And I told him, I said, you're a courageous man. Because everything that comes up in the book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, in that society of that day, we're facing folks today as well in America. So I trust this will be an encouragement to your heart as you consider what Paul wrote to the people of Galatia. Let's pray. Father, we recognize that each of us has to be confronted in our own heart with the truth that you have for us. And help us as believers to be those who are faithful to honor and to live by your word and by your truth, and to seek the guidance in relationship to the society and the life in which we live in this day, to seek the guidance of your Holy Spirit as we live out our lives. Help us to live by the authority of your word and by the declaration of the truth of your word and by the power of your Spirit. And we give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen.